Welcome to the Lock In Podcast. This is episode 26 for Wednesday, October 7th, 2020. My name's Conor Muinichon, and I must apologise. It's been over 2 weeks since we had the last episode. I've been out sick, thankfully not with COVID-19, but I'm glad to be back at work and back on the web with this show. Who am I? Conor Muinichon. I work at Black Knight. We're the web hosting company trying to keep everyone connected, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on in the show. But first, I want to welcome today's guest on today's show. She's a published writer of original speculative fiction, horror, graphic novels. She's breathed new life into characters from the Judge Dredd universe, among others. And she lives just up the road from me in County Galway. Although as of today, we couldn't visit each other now. Maura McHugh, welcome to the show. Ireland is at level 3 and we'd have to go to the Clare-Galway border and wave at each other at this stage. Isn't that it?
Yeah, I think that's it. We're not allowed to leave counties. Yeah.
That's the way it is right now. How has the lockdown been for you in general?
It's been, I think the great word is challenging.
Yeah.
because I used to rent a co-share space in Kinvara, which is in Galway.
Mm.
And when the lockdown happened, that went away. So I had started that in order to make a distinction between work and home, and also to get some socialization, because I'd worked long enough freelance from home. And I started to realize it was having kind of, I really needed more. And this was a brilliant space. And at the time, typical Ireland, I didn't have high-speed broadband. I had a version of broadband, but it wasn't good enough. So I did those things. That went away. My husband moved back to working from home because he's a software engineer. And then my whole life, everything got thrown up. And so all my schedules got destroyed. And then I had to do shopping for my parents and worry about them. And, you know, so actually it was a very difficult time and creatively destroyed me. And funny enough, I don't know, you know, Tana French is a Irish crime writer. And yesterday in the Irish Times, she actually described this period as a smoking crater in her creativity. And she just finished her last book in February. So she was very lucky. But I totally identify with that and a lot of my writer friends as well, because a lot of the things I had set in, which was to keep off social media in order to get work done and to avoid the news just to get work done. And because nobody knew what was happening, pardon me, my throat's a little tickly today. I just was on a lot of time and it wasn't good for me. And so over the months, I've had to course correct.
Yeah, we all have. I think changes, everyone has felt the change one way or another. Some people have obviously felt a lot of hardship from it. People I think who have worked from home and been used to sort of being socially isolated have found actually that there is a new set of challenges. I work from home here as well for Black Knight, but I found that worked fine, but I wasn't used to the whole family piling in the door on top of me and them all trying to work from home as well. So it has been challenging. There's no doubt about it in different ways, Maura.
Yeah.
You're a writer. You were just telling me you maintained a day job up until very, very recently in technology.
Yeah, I mean, but that's very common with writers.
Yeah.
I mean, most the pay is very poor. Right. I'm not on the status of I don't know, George R. R. Martin or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you're okay.
Yes.
But I think the revenue in Ireland said that the average writer is making less than 10 grand a year.
Yeah.
And I would say that's probably true.
Yeah. How did you get into it, Maura?
How
did you get into writing and into, I guess, science fiction in particular?
Oh, I was always total nerd geek person. When it wasn't cool at all in Ireland, very uncool. And but yeah, I loved horror as well. That's always been a strong thing. And I was actually quite an introverted kid. I read a lot. And the only thing my parents had to worry about was the fact that I liked these horror novels with these lurid covers. I think it's like, I think parents need something to worry about. So that's what they fixated on, that I was into all this science fiction. And it was like, for generationally, they couldn't, that wasn't something they could lock onto. I mean, fairy tales, etc., which I also loved, you know, was a bit more mythology, a bit more understandable, but this was a whole new thing for them.
But isn't there, I often think that there's a very strong Gothic tradition in Irish literature. Obviously, we're talking about Bram Stoker and the like as well. But if you go deep enough into the folklore and the traditional tales and stuff like that, some of that stuff's pretty gruesome, in fairness.
Oh, I love it. Like, I mean, that's the kind of stuff, my bread and butter. I love our folklore. And actually, the thing is that Irish people have still a very strong connection to place and landscape and tradition. And I say this a lot, and actually in podcasts, which is that, especially to people who aren't Irish, you know, is that you always have this situation where someone will say, like, oh, I don't believe in the fairies, but my uncle, and then there'll be a story, and then there'll be, and that time I got lost in the woods, but, you know, there's, So I think that sense of the mysterious is still really strong in Irish culture.
It's interesting. I know you've worked on, I think I mentioned 2000 AD and the Judge Dredd universe in particular. And you've done some particular work. I know you've done other stuff as well. Maybe you want to talk about that as well. But you've done a particular work with a character called Judge Anderson. Is she a particular favourite of yours?
Yeah, I mean, she was like a bit of a hero of mine when I was growing up, because in 2000 AD, which I did read, because I've always read comics as well, whatever was available, and there wasn't a lot initially. Thankfully, now that's not the problem. So Anderson was like she hit 2000 AD in my, like, a bombshell, because she was so, she was treated as a judge. She was never treated differently. Like, that was a cool thing about the judges system in the comics, is that the men and women were all like, they were judges. Yes. That's it, you know. And she was a psi judge, which meant that she had psychic abilities, which was very much my bag. And she had a great sense of humor. So when I read her as a kid, and I, when the first graphic novels collecting her stories came out, like, I bought all of those. And then it's different, because since then there's been an explosion of these kinds of characters. But she was actually very, she was new, and she was cool, and I loved her very much. So I never, ever, ever imagined as a child that I would write Anderson. And I literally nearly fell off the couch when I got the, I was happened to read the email on my phone when that happened, you know. So, yeah, I love writing her. I've just finished a short story of, on her in the 2000 AD, what's called the magazine, which is the magazine that comes out every month. And that was the 30th anniversary of the magazine. Judge 2000 AD has been continuously published for 42 years, and they do weekly progs, as they're known, programs. So, yeah, so it's an amazing thing to be part of this incredible institution with, and we're talking every great comic book writer from the UK and also Ireland have appeared in 2000 AD. It's an incredible institution. I'm really honoured to be part of it, quite frankly.
Fantastic. What else are you doing, Maura, at the moment? What have you coming up?
Well, actually, Rebellion, who's the company that owns 2000 AD, they seem to like my work. So I had a novella published at the beginning of the year by them, which is set in the what's known as the Judges universe, which is the precursor to what is the future. So it's set in like decades before it. And I wrote a story called Psyche, which is about the beginning of the Psy Division. So prior to the megacity coming about, these stories are set. So that's something. I had a collection published last year of my original fiction called, oh my God, I'm blanking on the title.
We'll look it up.
When the boughs withered.
Yes.
The boughs withered. Sorry. Oh, my God. Because I was jumping through lots of things in my mind.
Yeah.
And then I had a radio play come out last year as well with Near FM, who were great.
Yeah.
Had a fantastic experience with them. I'm working with Outsider Games, who is a games company. We're adapting, and that's nearly done, Jennifer Wilde, which is a comic I wrote, which is an Irish comic. That's been adapted to a video game, and I'm also working with them on another project. I've got more novellas coming out from Rebellion. And I'm working on screenplay as well. So
wonderful.
I'm doing a lot.
Fantastic. You're doing a lot. You're producing a lot. And have you got over that initial smoking crater sort of vibe, Maura? Have you found your stride again in what has turned out to be a long haul for us, really? Whether restrictions are tightened or loosened, there doesn't seem to be any short-term fix for the current situation that's going on globally.
No, I mean, we're looking at a minimum of a year before, you know, I think it'll be August, it'll be summer next year before any sort of vaccine, and who knows how long it'll take to get one.
Yes. But
that's the other thing, you know. So, yeah, we're looking at this like 2022 is when I think we'll be able to, things will be easier. So that's fine. You have to adjust. This is where we are. And, you know, you have to be conscious of other people. I'm very ruthless about all the regulations. I stick to them because I've elderly parents. I always think about other people's. I have friends who have disabilities and who have immune compromised systems, you know, so I always think about other people. So yes, I've started to finally hit my stride back. It took me way longer than I would have liked. Right. I mean, actually, if there was anything I'd be annoyed, I'd try. I don't believe in regrets, but if there's any regret, it's like how long it took me to adjust. But now I have. Yeah, I'm actually really in a good place now. And then September, I kind of really late August, September, I really started to re-establish my rules, which is social media needs to be kept at a distance.
Yeah.
You know, consume news in moderate amounts. And remember, there are amazing people in the world doing fantastic things all the time. And the reason we're all still running is because of these brilliant people in the world, in like our health force, you know, our teachers, you know, the people, the frontline, the people in the shops, the delivery people, you know, there's people who check on the elderly, the care homes, you know, there's just really so many amazing people doing tremendous work.
We're tightening up a little bit on the restrictions, as has been mentioned, obviously, enough. Ireland going to level 3. We don't know what's going to happen after that, Maura. The evenings are getting darker. The nights are getting longer. It is maybe time to spend a little more time at home with a good book or a good graphic novel or something like that. Any recommendations or suggestions for people?
The series that actually got me through, funny enough, they became like a comfort food to me during lockdown, was Martha Wells' series. It's called The Murderbot Diaries. And so this is hard science fiction. It's future, set in a far future. And there are a series of novellas and they end with a novel. And her next book in that series will be out next year. And for some reason, they just really heartened me. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I mean, and then, you know, there's really so much television and shows on at the moment. You know, I'm currently watching things like Lovecraft Country, which is real horror. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to think.
There's a lot.
Almost like too much, you know. And that is something, again, like, and in fact, I was just looking at the trailer for a new computer game, which is Cyberpunk 2077, which I have to say I'm super loving the look of it.
Yes.
So so I'm also playing games and stuff like that. But again, I have to be careful that it doesn't just like you use that to distract yourself from the reality of what we're living in. And you have to kind of get a balance between, stuff that's going to shore you up and help you through things and not get lost in it either. So that's what I try to do.
Has it must have crossed your mind, Maura, as it does mine on a regular basis, that if you read dystopian fiction in particular, that all of a sudden the truth and the life we live in is turning out to be stranger than that. What do you make of that? I was talking to, I interviewed a horror film director on this show a couple of months back, and I said, is the message from speculative fiction writers, is the message suddenly "I told you so," or what is it? What do you make of it?
Yeah, well, I think that kind of dystopian threat has always been in literature. since the 19th century, so there's always been a threat of that. And to be honest, funny I should mention Cyberpunk the game. Like, I grew up with Cyberpunk, which was very, very popular in the 80s, 90s, going into and then it sort of eased off a bit, But so Cyberpunk always said, the mega corporations are going to eat you.
Yeah. Okay.
And your life is going to become completely controlled by the internet and all of these things. And all of that has actually come true in different versions of it. So I have a very soft spot for dystopians because a lot of the time, if they're done right, I actually am a big believer in having hope in stories. I think there's no point,
Yeah.
I find really grim dystopians that offer you no hope of any survival. That's a chore for me. So I need something within it that will say that even in these situations, we can have our freedom and we can actually fight to have freedom. And that, I think that's actually really where the arc of the world is going. But we always have these blips. So, yeah, I mean, and the Judge Dredd universe is a dystopia.
Yes.
The whole thing about it is a police state.
Yes.
Well, judge police state, but within that, the whole thing about Judge Universe is that it's a satire critique of what we have now. And it always has been that way. So it's very useful to have that universe to go in and occupy and tell stories which are actually relevant to today.
Do you think in our world today that humanity, that society, that people like you and I and our neighbours, friends, are beginning to develop an understanding of where the dangers are, where the threats are? I know you and I, we were talking earlier about maybe the over-reliance on social media. And let me put it to you another way. Has dystopian fiction ever conceived of something like the social media as a tool for manipulation that exists today?
Yeah. It's actually, as I said, I have an IT background and I remain very interested in this issue, and it's relevant to my work as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the likes of Cambridge Analytica and how they gamed data of people, I think that is really genuinely disturbing. And but I think social media, the likes of Facebook now in particular, say with Cambridge Analytica, I think we're in the Wild West days still, and people just never conceived that this could happen. And it has to be regulated and it has to be controlled, because you can't have multi-billion dollar corporations controlling, dictating and manipulating our lives. It's just impossible. And I have to say, if, we're lucky to be in the EU, because at least, I mean, they're not perfect. So I don't want to get into a debate about them, but at least they actually have said that we have a right to privacy and that, and they've brought in slowly, it's not an institution that works quickly in the slushes, but it actually has addressed certain issues. Even on this really minor thing, I always say to people is, like, sort of God bless the EU, which is data roaming. Yeah. You know, we wouldn't have data roaming. Not that we can go to any country at the moment, but we wouldn't have, free data roaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it wasn't for the EU. So you actually have to start regulating this stuff. I mean, imagining that it's someone who's, you know, more wealthy like than God or whatever, that we are going to leave all our lives in their hands. No way, you know, so.
Hmm. And I suppose the message, as you point out from fiction, is that it's important to have hope, and that there is hope, and there are many positive things, and very many positive things being done out there. Maura McHugh, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I could talk to you all day, and thanks so much for agreeing to come on the show.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. Maura McHugh. Splinister.com, I should say, as well, Maura, is her website, and you can find all her work collected there as well. A couple of housekeeping things. Again, apologies for not being with you for a couple of weeks. We'll be resuming a weekly schedule again now. You can find out all of the past episodes of the show, and you can find all the ways to subscribe on the website at thelockin.ie. I also want to mention Indie Cork Festival of Film and Music, which is going on right now, manfully and womanfully making sure that they can get as much as they can done with social distancing and adhering to all of the guidelines in the Gate Cinema in Cork. But there is also, and we're very proud to be involved with it as sponsors, the Indie Cork Online Festival Centre, which is brought to you by Black Knight. And you can find out more about all of that at indiecork.com. And finally, as I've mentioned, we don't talk about work or our products in general, but right now we are running a series of free webinars because we discovered it's not just enough to provide services for companies who want to get business online. You've also got to provide them with education and training as well. So our series of free webinars is up and running right now, and it's in association with the .me registry, and we're calling it Go Global with .me. So you can find out more about that over there. Sinewild and Trossa by the kind liver reached on Tacht and Chachoin. Until then, Slán agus Beannacht.